What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. We're in episode 109. And this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and, of course, helps the podcast keep on going. With me today, as always, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Oh, not much, Bob. How are you doing?
It's good, man. What's today? Today's Saturday.
It is Saturday. So we start all over the place with this podcast lately.
Yeah, because there's just a bunch of stuff going on, and it's starting to get into the busy stuff, like,
yeah,
end of summer, tons of products, lots of stuff going on. It's just,
right,
you know,
yeah,
I'm not happy about the end of summer. Has it started getting cold there a little bit at night now?
Yeah, I'm actually, I mean, as sad as I am, I'm like, these temperatures aren't that bad. It's nice.
Yeah, this is like the good temperature. This is like what you wish it was 24/7, because it's like,
yeah, if you could live in a place that was just like this all the time, oh, it'd be perfect.
It's called San Francisco.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's why it costs too much money to live there.
Well, there's a lot of reasons it costs too much money to live there, but yeah, it's like a good time of year, and it's like football season starting, you know, all kinds of, you know.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
But it is like the last week of summer, though. I mean, next weekend's Labor Day. Got to close the pool, you know?
It
kind of signals the end of it.
Yeah, but at least for me, it signals like holiday season, tons of new products, gearing up for CES, a lot of game launches, too. Game launches for holiday season is huge. Like, we're going to see Star Wars Battlefront 2. We'll see a couple other new games come out. I mean, it's going to be a good holiday season, I think. You know.
Yeah.
And I don't think we'll see a GPU launch till next year. So it's kind of nice. We don't have like another big. We get to keep this current hardware for a little bit, or at least it seems like it. So.
Yeah, at the most, I think we're gonna get another couple Intel parts, and that's
it. We should get the Coffee Lake desktop parts and.
And the higher end $299 parts.
Yeah,
as well.
We should get those higher end parts as well. So, you'll be able to keep your current system.
It's just nice. It's a nice place to be, kind of. Unless you're waiting and you waited and now you're like, oh, f, what do I do now?
Yeah,
like, waiting to build is not a good time.
Yeah, but it is a good time of year. I do like it because there's a lot of launches and a lot of cool new products that come out. So. But let's jump into our reviews this week, and we'll start off with, it's kind of crazy to say because this case is super small, but it's one of my favorite cases I reviewed this year. It's the InWin 301, which is basically the little brother to the InWin 303, and it's just so simple and small, and it's really like a thin case. It's not that wide. And I think that's why I like it. It's like a perfect square. Not square, but like a, I guess a square.
not really square at all.
Yeah. But it's just so simplistic. And it's a micro ATX case. You can do mini ITX inside of it as well. Okay. And it's just, the design is just so simple and nice. And it has a tempered glass side panel. All steel design. Really sleek and elegant look. And my biggest fear when I get these small cases into review is cable management. I've had cases where it was just a pain in the ass to manage all the cables, to keep everything nice. And with this case, it was easy. It was easier than some ATX cases, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's nice. I think that back in the day, and like kind of where we come from, is that in the small form factor case, like, cable management was like not a thing, right?
It was non-existent.
Yeah, so we're not really in that world anymore, so it's nice.
Yeah, it just worked out so well. And it just, like, it's so hard to explain with this case, but like, if you know, I had it sitting here, and you know, with the build inside, and it just looks so nice. I don't know what it is about this case. Everything just looks sleek and nice, and it's like a build or a case that you'd want sitting on your desk, or like if you had it in an office, you'd want it like sitting there, you know, being shown off. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. And one thing I really liked about this too was the tempered glass side panel. It's just held on by a simple like you just press a button at the top and it comes right off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one of these ones where you have to undo a bunch of thumb screws and you have to worry about if you tighten the thumb screw too tight, it like cracks the panel. Like, It is so well done. And even the opposite side panel has two simple thumb screws at the top that stay on the side panel, and you just like lift it off. It's everything is well thought out on this case. It really is. And
yeah, I believe I saw this at CES. It was a nice case.
Yeah, yeah, this was shown off at CES. And it's just like, it's just a really good case. You can fit full size graphics cards inside. You do have room for a 240mm AIO, which I did install and had no issues with that either. It does not come with
in there.
Yeah, it does not come with any fans, which is the only downfall.
That's different.
Usually with cases, even in, I mean, this is a $69 case.
Okay.
Even in that price range, you usually get at least one fan. You'll usually get that, like, usually get that rear exhaust. You know what I mean? For the most part.
Yeah, usually, but I think that in the case of an in-wind case, that that was a bad sentence. That, that cost wise, I think you've got a probably a better build than most $69 cases.
Yeah, and I mean, it is a 3mm thick tempered glass side panel, and the implementation of the side panel is great. It's probably one of the best, and just because the buttons there, it doesn't take away from like the whole aesthetic of the case.
Really? See, I don't. That I think is the downfall of it. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No. Of, and this is like a universal thing for Inwin, for most of the tempered glass panels now. And I don't dig that. It's just that whole strip at the top. It draws attention away from the okay. rest of it, and it I think it unbalances it for me.
I think the way I see it is the usability outweighs the.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And the thing is, what's one thing that I do love about that too is because the panel's so small, you can pick it up with one hand, like pick the panel up with one hand. And not get any fingerprints on the panel, which if you used anything tempered glass ever, the yeah. biggest thing is getting fingerprints on it. So that's one thing I love about this as well.
Yeah.
And like a nice little touch too is like on the front, there's like a little Inwin logo that lights up. And there's like little lights around the HD audio connectors and the two USB connectors in the front. So it's just like a little bit of light, but not like...
Yeah.
A ton.
I actually like that setup on the front panel. It was not well received overall, though, by most people.
Yeah, I like why. It.
Yeah,
yeah it I just do. It adds that little touch without adding too much. Like it's not
subtle.
Yeah, it's subtle. It's really nice. Like I said, this like I honestly was not excited about this case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I got it into review, I was just like, okay, like this is going to be like you know your typical small build. But after looking at it and doing my build and the ease of installation and everything, I was like, oh, wow, this is like an awesome case. Like, it really is. So if you're looking to do anything micro ATX or even mini ITX in this, even if you if you did mini ITX, you could probably get away with another AIO or another radiator in the bottom. Because you can fit two 120s down there.
Yeah.
But with if you're doing micro ATX with a larger graphics card, you might run into you know. But if you had mini
ATX, install photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah. If you had this shorter board and you
like a smaller
water cooling block.
Yeah.
You're not gonna run into issues with the card.
Yeah. So that's.
Yeah, you totally could. Yeah, I think you could. You said there's two 120s.
Yeah, two 120s.
Yeah, you could probably throw two 240 rads in this.
Yeah.
So I don't know where you're gonna put your pump though. In your reservoir, but I bet you could make it work.
Yeah, there it would be interesting to see if somebody's done a pretty cool mod in this. You know, because it is small, but like I said, and one thing I was really impressed with, if you look at my install photo from the back side of the motherboard tray with all the cables, I used two cable ties. That's it.
Nice.
Yeah,
it's like I had a Silverstone case. I forget which one it is. Small form factor, and it totally this has the same like kind of cubbies in the back.
Yeah,
where it like where you just shove everything.
Yeah,
yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it just works. It just works so well.
What do you think about the this caught my attention the where the power supply slides in at? So there's the nice gap where you like put it in and then slid it back. But there's also like. There's a bit of metal on the side to the right where it looks like it would maybe limit you in your in the length of your power supply because you have to be able to slide it through and then back, right?
Yeah, that could be an issue. The power supply that I use for case builds is actually smaller. It's a, I think it's 160. I think it's 160mm. I forget what the default ATX size is. It's a little bit bigger than what I use.
Right.
I assume. That they have it set up for at least a typical ATX size.
Yeah, I would think a standard.
Yeah, but if you're running anything larger, the thing is, I don't think you would need anything that larger because you can get a 1,000-watt power supply in a typical ATX size, and that's going to run a tight NEX.
Yeah, and you're right.
And you're not going to do any. You can't do dual cards in this. It's just like not possible.
Yeah, realistically, that's where you're at with it.
Yeah, so that's kind of where that ends up, I would say.
Okay, but you might just have a larger power supply left over that you're just planning to use. But so something to keep in mind, maybe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Now, is that a modular power supply?
Yes.
Okay, so that did allow you to have that done a little easier, but it looks like there's still plenty of room, even if you're non-modular.
Yeah, you can hide a lot of cables. Even up top there, you can hide a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
And that that little cubby, as you said, has a lot of room that you can just like throw stuff back there. So
nice.
So yeah, it worked out really well. I was really happy with my build. It's just a good case. And the tempered glass side panel is tinted, so... you might want to add like a RGB light strip or something like that, you know.
Get a little pop from the inside of the case.
Yeah, so I had like LED memory in the side of my graphics card lights up, so it did look pretty cool in there, but a light strip would add even more.
A little bit brighter than the photos make it look.
Yeah.
Like in person, it lights up a little better.
Yeah. It does look really good in there. I mean, it's a nice... Hey, man. Like I said, I'm really impressed with this, and I've reviewed hundreds of cases, and this is one that I really, really like. So
I like the hex venting on the back. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's supposed to help your front intake if you're doing it that way.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
You know.
I think those are the touches that kind of justify the larger price point with the smaller, like, no fans and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fewer features.
Yeah. So, like I said... If you're doing a micro ATX or mini ITX build, definitely a case to look at. It's not one of those kind of cube style cases. It is basically looks like a tower, but it's super small. And the video, I did the video review. It's on YouTube. And you can see I kind of compare it to like the size. I put another case next to it and you can see the size difference. So,
gotcha.
So you guys can check that out as well. And that'll bring us to a new launch this week from Corsair. They launched a new line of gaming headsets, and they're the Void Pro, and there's four different models, I believe.
Wow, of course.
So they let us choose which one we wanted to review, and I wanted to review the wireless one because I haven't done a wireless gaming headset in a while, and I like the idea of wireless. Yeah. I like to be able to getting up, going in the kitchen, getting something to eat, and still listening to music or being in my voice chat or whatever it is. I like it.
Yeah.
And
it's something that like latency isn't an issue with, so
yeah,
like, you know, sound isn't, that's, yeah, that's just not going to be a problem.
Yeah, so we took a look at it's the Void Pro RGB wireless. Everything is RGB.
Do they even have to say RGB at this point? Like,
I think it's coming to the point where like they just don't need to. But there is a non-RGB version, so
is there?
Okay. Yes. So that's kind of why they did it, and there's wired versions of the Pro as well. It's a really good headset. It's well made. It builds upon the Void line, so the design is pretty much the same. You have a steel frame, which is really good, and you have steel kind of cantilevers on the sides, so it is a really well made headset. And you have like heavy, like high-end plastic that kind of covers that stuff to give you that cool look.
Mm-hmm.
And really big ear cups, like really, really big ear cups, which take a little time to get used to, but you have breathable mesh on the ear cup, so it is really comfortable. But if you're used to a headset that is a little tighter on your head, this is going to be different for you. I don't think I have a small head by any means.
No, I wouldn't say so.
Yeah. But I had this on its tightest, as tight as the headset can go.
Oh, really?
In its adjustments, and it felt very loose. And I always do this test where I move my head back and forth pretty fast, like I'm saying no, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the headset would actually fall off.
Oh.
And that's not an issue if you're gaming. Like, if you're sitting here, you're not moving your head back and forth like that. You're just not.
Seems like it could be an issue with a wireless headset, though.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that you have to kind of get used to it sitting there, because it does feel loose, but... It's loose because it doesn't give you that real tight feel on your head, which makes it comfortable for longer gaming sessions, and I think that's what's very important. It's very comfortable. Yeah, I played like for hours on this thing, and one, I didn't get any stress where the headband or on my ears, and I didn't get any like sweat around the ears as well, which happens with gaming headsets if you're gaming for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you have to get used to. But it works extremely well. The wireless range is better than the previous version. I've said this before, but my kitchen is a dead zone for everything wireless. That's coming from my office here to the kitchen. Like routers drop out, like everything drops out there, and I'm able to go to the kitchen. I can even go out the back door of the kitchen, and I have a grill out there, and I can still listen to music. It's that good. It's about a 40-foot range, and it goes through one, two, three, like three walls of concrete here, so that's really good.
Yeah, seems like a pretty strong transmitter.
Yeah, it says 16 hours of battery life. I got about 12, something like that. I think that's
still fair.
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with the RGB lighting. I'm sure if I had it turned, like you can turn it off.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you could, you know, it would last maybe 16 hours without the RGB lighting. And the microphone's good. It's just as good as the previous version. They have improved it where you can bend it more and it's more versatile. But it's still not like a, you know, there's a couple Sennheiser gaming headsets that have like an amazing mic. This isn't that quality.
Yeah.
But still good, and it's good enough for like voice chat and you know, doing things like that. But if you were trying to do a voiceover or something, it wouldn't be the mic that I would use.
Gotcha. You know.
And the only thing I didn't like about it, well, there's just two things. One is that if the battery runs out, there's no way to directly plug this into my computer. You know, so if I'm low on battery and I'm still gaming, you know, I could plug, there's a micro USB. I wish I could plug the micro USB into my PC and the headset still work. You know what I mean? Or on a lot of times when there's wireless headsets on the receiver, there's a little audio jack that there would be an audio jack on the headset. You just connect the audio. You know what I mean? You could still game or whatever.
Yeah, I would think they would build something like that.
Anyway. Yeah, so that's a downfall. And secondly, in the software, you can see the battery level. But there's no like in there is a little indicator that's under the that's like right by where the charging port is, but it just like blinks and it doesn't really tell you anything.
Okay.
I wish there was some type of combination on the headset. All the controls are on the headset. I wish there was some type of control combination that I could press that would say like 60% battery life or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, because it does have auto
overlay on your screen.
Not even over. Well, it does show it in the software, but it's hard to find.
Right, but I mean, like when you're gaming, you don't want to like change focus. It'd be cool if you
But I wish I could
and have it show up on your
screen. Yeah, or I could like so. This the headset has audible cues, so you can put the mic up and the mic down. And if you have audible cues on, it says mic muted, mic unmuted, you know, stuff like that. So if I press a button on the headset, it would say 60% battery life or what? You know what I mean?
Right. Okay.
I wish it had something like that. But I do think it is one of the best gaming headsets. It's a wireless headset done right, I think. It is really, really good. And it's super comfortable once you get used to it. That's the biggest thing. It's just like going from a mechanical keyboard to a membrane, or, you know, it's like that type of thing. You have to get used to it. Corsairs, the ear cups have their own specific design, and a lot of companies kind of use the same ones. This is just different. But it is, I like it. And I probably will continue to use it. I'm not using it right now, but I will continue to use it, I think. So. I gave it an editor's choice award because I really liked it. So,
gotcha.
And it's $100. Like when you get into the wireless stuff, I think you're looking at like $130, $140.
So it's a good deal, even.
Yeah, and it has one thing I didn't mention, which is a big deal, especially if you're doing like a lot of movie watching, is Dolby Virtual 7.1 Virtual Surround Sound. It's called Dolby Headphone, and it works really well, and you can easily turn it on and off. So like, especially if you're watching movies, it kind of gives you like that more immersive feel. So yeah, great headset, and I really like it. So, and then you are back in the review game.
Yeah.
So Derek took some time off because if you've been listening to the podcast, you know that he moved and he was getting his new home all set up and everything done and all that kind of stuff.
Together.
Yes. So he took a look at the Cooler Master. Master Liquid Pro 140, and you can tell us all about it.
Okay, sure. If you didn't, I guess, the best place to start is if you didn't see the 240 and the 280, I think those were the two that we did already previously. It's very similar in that it has a custom Cooler Master pump on it. It's a dual chamber pump. It's kind of like the main selling feature of this line. It keeps the pump portion separate from the water block portion so that it's supposed, the idea is to keep the heat away from the pump so you have a longer lifespan and possibly better cooling. The previous two that we checked out, oddly, the performance was okay, and there's nothing like astonishing or groundbreaking. And then, so I really didn't have very high expectations for this one, because they're fairly thin rads, and the fans are pretty good, but, you know, it's just, they were just okay. This one, actually, is just a, it's a 140 dual fan, and it performed better than both the 240 and the 280. So, it's, this is actually a really nice 140 cooler.
And I think 140 is a good size for a lot of people.
Yeah, this is
just for the fact that you always have that rear exhaust available.
You do,
pretty much all cases.
Surprisingly, it performed like, you know, a much larger radiator equipped cooler, and you can fit it in just about everything, like Bob just said. So, that of course it is the push pull, so sometimes you can't do that, but. Most of the time you can. I guess if it's a real small case, you might have an issue. But
yeah, I mean, I think you should, yeah, most cases, especially if you're doing it on the rear,
mm-hmm.
you should have the room.
Yeah,
you know, so
it's a little bit trickier installing push pull because you have to like mount the fan screws have to go through the fan and then through the case and then into the radiator. You kind of got to hold everything in place, but it's really it's not too much more difficult than installing a much larger radiator. So I totally recommend this. Gave it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
The only thing about it is it's not, there's no software, right? And we knew that from the previous Cooler Master versions. And so that is a pretty big disappointment. Pretty much got to do that these days. And it's just a blue LED. There's a acrylic piece of plastic, or acrylic piece over the top of the pump, and it's got like laser etching on the top of it, and it's backlit with blue LEDs, and that's fine if that's what you want, but most things today you want to be able to change the color on, I would say.
Yeah, you need RGBs.
Yeah.
And so I mean, software is just a given. I mean, this pump performs well, and it's, you know what I mean, like it's PWM.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just always nice, especially if you're doing overclocking, you want to pump the pump speed all the way up, you want to pump that fan speed up. You know, and this doesn't give you that versatility.
Mm-hmm. The fans have switches on them, so you can set it to performance, you know, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same. Software's just easier when it comes to anything. And we talk about that with gaming keyboards. Like, if there's no software to do macros or even change your lighting, like, it's just not as easy, and it's kind of frustrating.
And when there's as many products available to you as there is, it's kind of like, well, I'm just going to use something that's easier then, right? Yeah.
But well, I'm glad that in this one, the performance was really good, especially the small size. I think 140 is like kind of a go-to for a lot of people, especially a lot of first-time builders. The 140 is a really good size.
Yeah, and, absolutely. I think most of us probably started at that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think maybe, you know, this is like this generation, maybe next generation, maybe at CES we'll see some RGB implementation. I would hope we would see software.
I think that's a must for Cooler Master.
Yeah, I believe Cooler Master just the RGB fans that we saw at CES, they just released recently. Okay. And I believe they do come with software, so maybe that software will be part of, like, you know, the cooling stuff will be built on top of that software, which looked good at CES.
Yeah.
So hopefully
I think what we're talking about really is that we have these companies with great software, right? And so at this point, the companies that don't have it, it's like, well, why don't you get software? Well, those companies didn't get it overnight. Like NZXT, they worked on CAM for years until they had it right and perfect. And that's why we love it, because they put so much time and effort. So I think some of these companies are probably, I hope they're just, you know, it's just taking time for them to catch up.
Yeah, and I think even Corsair, I feel Corsair's a little bit behind. The Link software is not my favorite. I prefer CAM over it, for mm-hmm. sure. You know, so it's just, but Corsair was one of the first ones to have software.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
it's just kind of aging.
Yeah, it is a little aging. But I'm glad this is a good cooler, you know, and it performed really well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it makes me think about it for a build for sure. Just the size and all that. So
yeah, anything small form factor, definitely go for. I mean, even if you're not small form factor, this will. If you're not going like custom water cooling, you're not going to get a lot more performance. And especially the price on this is down to $90 right now. It's on sale on Newegg for $89.99, and that's a good price. I mean, if you're choosing between, I really, when you think of a 120 or 140 AIO, you're choosing between this and an air cooler, typically a big air cooler, and so you're right at the same price point as the big Noctuas and anything else that would compete.
And
with that,
one thing I really like about AIOs, it's a learning experience if it's the first time you're doing it.
Yeah.
It seems, and the thing is, it's like for a lot of people, it's like a daunting task. You know what I mean?
It can seem like that, yeah.
Yeah, but once you do it, you feel like, you know, you feel good. You're like, I learned something. So yeah, so I think that's you know, most people when it comes to a not super high end cooling, but you know, better than like, you know, like
your stack cooler,
or even like the Cooler Master, was it the 202?
The Hyper 212.
Yeah, plus, which is like the go-to air cooler these days. I think it's one of the most popular.
Oh, yeah, it's like 15 bucks and it performs really well.
Yeah, it performs really well. You know, if you're looking for a little bit better performance than that, this is a great option, I feel. So,
yep.
Yeah, so great review. I enjoyed reading your review. It's good to see you back in the game.
It was good to be back, to be honest. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. So
yeah, that's awesome. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday, which of course is where we feature a build or mod that's in a community. And I feel this is more of a build than a mod, but it's in what is basically one of my favorite cases of all time. There's like maybe one or two cases that I like better than this case. Cooler Master, we saw it at CES. They had their 25th anniversary edition of the Cosmos 2, which is like their massive case. That I think it came out 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I used it as a review rig for probably 4 years until I replaced it last year, or I replaced it in 2015 or 2016. I replaced it.
I think 15.
And I used it for a long time because it was just so big and just a nice case. And it has this metal bars on it. You could just pick it up and.
Dude, for us that. A lot of people, I mean, might not be a big deal too, but for us, when we're constantly moving stuff around, that's such a big deal.
And this was one of the first cases that had the side panel that kind of came out, but then you could lift the entire side panel off the case completely without having to undo any screws, and it was one of the first cases that did that as well. When it came out, it was like revolutionary case. And this build is by Songay Custom, which I based on the spelling of his name, is from Thailand. Which Thailand, it seems like, has a pretty awesome modding community. We've covered a lot of Thailand modders over the past year. I would say, like I said, this is more of a build. You do have custom water cooling in there, but it's more of a build than a mod. Than anything.
There's very little that's custom about it.
Yeah, now one thing that I noticed, I don't know if you can tell me, I didn't really research it, but if you look at the graphics card, it has an infinity mirror on it. At least it looks like it does. And I don't know if it's that, I didn't get to research that Poseidon graphics card. I'll actually look at it right now.
I don't think that it has that on it.
What is that then?
I could see building that in. That's pretty cool. Dude, I didn't even catch that. That's
I caught it.
Yeah.
Let me look at this card.
Maybe it is.
GTX.
I feel like we would have seen that.
See, the Asus is not... I'm going to the website. It's not really showing me... Oh, I guess it does. It is.
Does it?
Yeah. That's sort sweet. Of. Yeah, they changed it. They took the... Yeah, it is an infinity panel on there.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyways, this is just a great build inside of the Cosmos 2 25th Anniversary Edition. Hard tubing. A color that I love, which is like a kind of like an aqua color. RGB memory from Corsair. I believe is this an X299?
I don't know.
It's an X290. So it's an Asus X299 Strix, Intel i7-7900X, which is a great processor. Great SSD from Plexter, 1 terabyte. Just great build. And a high-end build, too.
Little surprise, there's no sleeving on the bottom connections. Bottom panel connections. Well, front panel, I guess. But on the bottom of the motherboard, you didn't sleeve any of the wires.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I mean, they hide down there pretty well, but...
Yeah.
With but that polished steel back panel, they kind of pop off of it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
They become a little more obvious.
But looks like Alpha Cool radiator, which is always good to see. Yeah. And looks like bits of power fittings. It's just a nice build, man. I love this case. It's like
drawn to the case more than the build.
Yeah, no, I still have mine. It's sitting here, and like, well, I was sitting downstairs in storage, but you know, I will always keep that case. It's just a good case. So really cool build. It's the first time I've seen a Poseidon GTX 1080 Ti in a build.
Yeah, never seen one used.
Yeah, so that's the Asus hybrid card. So you can hook it up to water cooling, or you don't have to.
Yeah, still has fans running either way.
Yes, so pretty cool as well.
And this great version of it actually is quite a bit cooler than the previous versions. The block is a little nicer. The fittings runs like standard. They didn't used to. They used to come out of the top of it.
Yeah.
I can't describe it, like straight out of the top instead of at a 90 degree like they are. Yeah. So this is really adds to the build quite a bit, actually.
Yeah, it's a really really nice card. So awesome stuff here. This is more of a build, but if you're into a crazy, you know, real crazy mod, Case Mod Friday has an entire, or we have an entire section of builds in Case on Friday that cover just regular builds like this, scratch builds, really cool, crazy stuff. So definitely check all of that out. And that brings us to news this week. And we didn't have a podcast last week. It was my birthday, so
kind of took. No, we were going to try, but we didn't make it work.
Yeah, it wasn't happening. But Arx Vega came out, 56 and 64.
Certainly did.
64, just a basic rundown. 64, which is the higher end card. In some cases, it would beat the GTX 1080. In some cases, it wouldn't. Didn't compete with the GTX 1080 Ti at all. At launch, it was $499.
It's supposed to be
$499. Yeah. And then the 56, which turned out to be the winner of the two cards, competed with the GTX 1070. But the thing that sucked about both of them is that they ran hotter and consumed more power.
And they really aren't fast enough. They're not fast enough.
Yeah, so it's kind of like GTX 1080, which came out a year ago.
Yep.
You know, it's still, while it somewhat competes, it doesn't really. GTX 1080 beat it in most tests that I've seen in reviews, pretty much all of them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And again, it ran hotter than a GTX 1080. Yeah. And it consumed more power as well, and that's not good. And that's not good for mining either.
No.
You know.
Everything about it should have been better, but then again, there's sort of warning signs. It's one of the biggest dies that we've seen.
Yes.
So that kind of, I should have just seen. I mean, it kind of points to it's going to be hot, right?
It's big. Now here's the thing.
It's a large process.
Here's the thing. If they released it in March, would that have been better?
No. I mean, we'd say the same thing. It wouldn't be as funny.
Yeah.
It's funny it's good because of how long Nvidia has had the 1080 out for, that's all.
It's good to see a semi-competitive part. It's just, again, it's just a disappointment from AMD. And a lot of people thought, since Ryzen was very good, and it's very competitive part, and it really disrupted the CPU market for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so AMD took a year, or whatever, since the 480 came out, really. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, for the high end, there was no high end parts, so they
took a year off from high end
parts. Yeah. Now we have a high-end part, you know, just like the same thing they kind of did with Ryzen.
They took a year off and they delayed.
Yeah, and they delayed. And it's just not competitive. You know, that's just
I think
this
is one of the biggest disappointments that we've had for a long time.
I wouldn't say it's pretty big disappointment. I think if Ryzen was bad, it would have been more of a disappointment.
Right, but it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't at all. So that's kind of what that's not even our story that we're talking about, but that's just one to give the background on all that.
Yeah.
So when Vega launched, it was $499. And that would get you the card. That's it. There's all these other game packs and all this other stuff they did.
Mm-hmm.
But for $499, that would give you the card.
Standard card.
So now,
which is fine for most people.
Yeah, and that's the price of a 1080. That's the price of a 1080. It's $499. And it seemed like from everything that I've read, what happened was that $499 price was a limited amount of cards per retailer. You know, so for the guys from OC UK, so they had 250 cards that they could sell at that price. And then it would go up to $599, which is
it's a big jump, right?
Yeah.
But that's for the game pack versions, right? The price would jump to $599 and you'd get free games.
Yeah, free games.
It's just not the standard version. The cheap,
yeah.
It's just not it's not the bare bones version.
Yeah. So there's been all this weird pricing. Like, where did the $499 cards go? Because that's what people want. They might already have the games. They don't want the games. They just want the card.
Right.
And they have $500 to spend, right?
Yeah, I mean, $100 that's another big chunk of your budget. Right?
Yeah. And people were wondering, where do these $499 cards go? Blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. You know, and again, many retailers had said that they were given discounts from AMD to offer cards at that $499 price. And once that the quantity of those cards were gone, they had to start selling them for $599.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So basically, unless you jumped on it right away, you're not getting... They don't... Well, I guess the big story, though, really is that it's part of their marketing, right? Is the fastest card under $500.
Yeah, but it's not anymore.
It's not available for under $500.
Yeah, it's
basically.
Not. And the guys from PC Games Network talked to one of AMD's executives at Gamescom, and you know, they said that the $499 price is what it's supposed to be, and they said demand's really huge and they're trying to replenish the stocks, but if the card's available, so why isn't nobody... It's kind of like everybody's pointing fingers back and forth, like, why is the card so expensive? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why is it being sold for certain prices? And even, you know, later this week, like, it's been selling for $700 on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And Newegg. You know, nobody knows why this card's so expensive. And
well, I mean, we kind of do, right?
I mean, there's a huge demand for this card, especially in the mining
there's
community.
There's a huge demand for cards.
Yeah, but usually that boils down to people buying them and selling them on eBay, right? If you're buying from a retailer, and if there's quantities available, you'll get it at the MSRP. Like,
right?
I don't remember there being a time where cards were the price was inflated.
If anything, your retailer is like, there's gonna be like discounts, right? Because they want to be the one to sell it to you.
Yeah, or I mean, not even that. I mean, it should sell at the MSRP, which is supposedly $499.
Yeah.
And it's selling for $200 more now, from retailers, from stores. And AMD said that the $499 price is what it's supposed to be. Then why are the prices being inflated? And I don't see Amazon, Fry's, any of these places being like, oh, we're going to make money off these people because they want to buy them. Like, that's just not how retailers work. that's how people who sell things on eBay work. And we see that with all kinds of products, but we never see it at the retailer level. We just never, we never have. And that kind of brings us to the next story, where a leaked invoice from a distributor. So obviously a distributor is at, even at a higher level than a retailer. And this distributor is selling RX Vegas 64, just a card, for $675 to the retailer.
Yeah.
So
middleman is selling to and retailer for $675.
And it seems like AMD should be able to control this. AMD, you know, this information obviously is public now. You know, if they're selling this card for this much, AMD should be able to go to this distributor and be like, no, you can't do that. We're not going to supply you cards anymore if you're going to do this.
Yeah, there should be a strict policy on it.
Yeah, and that's like
typical. Just taking advantage of the customer.
Yeah. So this brings us to, if AMD can't control this, it's just going to blow out of proportion, I feel. And, you know, because the retailer should sell to, or the distributor should sell to the retailer at an even more discounted price. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if the card is $499 for the extended price, the unit price should have been more like $299.
Yeah, and then the retailer sells it at a higher price to make up the margin. That's just that's how like business works.
That's how you make money.
Yeah,
right? Right?
Yeah, yeah. So this is pretty crazy. And if again, if the distributors, if the distributors are, it's free game to do this, and there's no repercussion from AMD at all, this could really blow out of proportion. I mean, we already have, I mean, the card, just the card itself is $700 now, which doesn't make it, as a gamer, that doesn't make it a worthwhile card,
I think,
at all.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of, there's a lot of arguments both ways. Like, I think that AMD is, they're being foolish for allowing this to happen, because yeah, you have a situation currently where you can sell a lot of cards, you can move a lot of product easily because of this whole mining craze right now. It's going to go away. And then you're going to be stuck with gamers only, right? Basically, the ones who have kept you in business for years. And now you've pissed them all off. What do you, and your card is too slow. What do you think they're going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I've just you've got loyal customers. There's people that are gonna there's gamers that will buy Vega or were planning to buy Vega, would have liked to buy Vega just because it's an AMD card, right?
And you know what's crazy is most of our audience, especially with comments on Facebook, are AMD. They'll buy AMD parts. They want an AMD CPU. They want AMD, you know what I mean? They
want those parts. They're more than willing to buy AMD parts. But
yeah.
I don't think that the average consumer is gonna take this for too long, though. You know.
Yeah, it blows my mind, especially as it, I've never even seen it at the retailer level, unless it's like some shady retailer like that nobody's heard of. I've never seen it inflated at the retailer level, and I've definitely never seen it inflated at the distributor level, on any type of product.
Yeah,
really. I mean, you know,
the fact that Amazon and Newegg have inflated pricing is pretty significant.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
like your top price should have been $499 and then what, $599 for the most expensive version.
I think the liquid cooled version is was a little bit more. I think
but still, you know, those should have been the top prices, and then there'd probably you'd be able to shop around and wait maybe just a little bit, and you'll find some discounts, you know.
Yeah.
Instead, you wait just a little bit, and these cards have gone up $200 for no reason.
Yeah. Because you get the same card with the same performance. So yeah, it's, you don't know when this is going to stop. It doesn't seem like it has yet.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Well, it's crazy too that like they don't, because we took last week off, but if in case anybody didn't hear, they don't mine like it was reported either. Like they're good, but they're not the part that, you know, the hashes aren't as good as they thought.
Yeah, and they use more power.
Yeah.
You know.
It cuts into your profits.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, it's I think the poor performance mixed with this pricing issue is just a bad, it's a bad launch. It's another bad launch from AMD, and we're so used to this, especially with graphics cards. You know what I mean?
They were just starting to come around too.
And I was excited for Vega. I thought, you know, especially after Ryzen. Like, I was really impressed with Ryzen, and I was like, okay, AMD's turning new leaf, and you know, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And but I mean, maybe
I expected like 5 to 10% faster. Over 1080, right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And, you know, maybe they need to do what they did with Ryzen and take 4 years off and develop a new part. I mean, that's what they did with Ryzen, so.
Yeah.
You know, so the 56 is the better out of the two as far as price performance and what you're getting, I would say. But you're not getting any of these cards for anywhere near what they need to be.
If anything, the 64, the basic version, it should probably be around $400.
Yeah. So that's kind of the Vega stuff. Move from AMD over to Intel, and Intel announced their first line of 8th generation Core parts, and none of it was desktop. Because usually when Intel announces a new generation of parts, it's you know, laptop parts first, which makes sense. They've done it. That's pretty much what they've done. But it looks like leaked information on the first wave of 8th generation Core i5 and Core i7 desktop processors was leaked, which is good. So we have the information. And these are not going to be quad-core. They are going to be 6-core. The Core i7s will be 6-core 12-thread, and the Core i5s will be 6-core 6-thread, which is typical to see no hyper-threading in a Core i5.
Mm-hmm.
So moving up. Moving the cores up.
Yeah.
Which is good. You know, this is obviously a hit back at Ryzen, because that was very high core count processors there.
Yeah, we finally had the standard raised, essentially, right?
Yeah, so... 6-core, 12-thread, Core i7, 8700K, Core i7, 8700. We have the, I'll just say, go to the link that we'll have for this. They'll give you all of the information. But both Core i7s have 12 megabytes of shared L3 cache. The Core i5s have 9. The K model, so you have a Core i5, 8600K, as well as a Core i5, 8400. And the both K models, the 8700K, 8600K, are fully unlocked. K models also 95 watt TDP. The non K model 65 watt TDP.
It's a pretty big drop in power for the non Ks. Yeah. That's 30 watts. I mean, it's a third, you know, almost.
Oh no. The i7 70. That's a 95 watt TDP part.
No, I mean, from the 8700K to the 8700, it's a third lower.
Oh, yeah, that's usually what happens. Yeah. That's usually the 65-watt parts are the non-unlocked, you know what I mean? Because when you get those big turbo boosts up there, you need that much power to run it, so.
I like the core clock, even on the 6-core, on the 8700K, the 4.7 boost, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Getting up there.
I'd like to see how the overclocking goes on these.
Yeah, I think that will probably be a max. You notice how that's one core. You know, that's a typical overclock with one core.
Yeah.
When all of these turbo boosts, you know, you see the minimum turbo boost with all 6 cores is 4.3. You know, so. But with this, which I'm super excited about, I always talk about this when you have new processor launches, is that we will have new motherboards. And these will be, the first wave will be Z370, which will replace the Z270 boards. And there's been a list compiled of what boards will more than likely come out. A lot of Asus boards, obviously. Some ASRock boards are in there, and there's some other ones that we've got some information on. But I'm excited for the new boards.
Yeah, I'm actually a little more excited. I really was excited for X299, but I mean, all these gaming boards are so much fun.
Oh, I know. There's just so much on them.
Yeah.
And with 8th generation and the X370 chipset and you know, this is Coffee Lake, is that we're going to have more downstream PCI Express lanes. We talked about this.
Yeah.
And that just means more M.2s, more, like, you know, you can put more on the board. Yeah. You have the bandwidth to put more on the board now, which is going to be really, really cool, I think. You know, so we'll see. I think these are going to be really cool. This is going to be the next mainstream gaming line. You know, so most gamers are building Z270 now. This will be the, you know, the kind of next thing.
It seems like you could. This is probably a good time to, if you're looking, waiting to upgrade. You're getting a core count increase, and you're getting a new chipset. This is probably a really good time to upgrade.
Yeah, and I don't know. Was the pricing in that? I don't believe the pricing was in the. But they should be around the same price. Usually, when you know Intel has the new generation. The price will be the same as the previous.
Yeah, it should be right around
340
for the A700K?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, so super excited. And we have the pictures of the boxes as well on there, which I don't like at all. I don't think they look good. The retail boxes they've gone with, like, for the i7, red something and green.
I think they've looked worse in the past.
They've looked worse in the past, but I just don't like them. That's just, I don't know. That's just me. Yeah. I like the Core X series boxes a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have all that info for the new desktop processors, because the mobile stuff, it's cool, but that's just not what we look at. And we have the list of the upcoming boards for the Z37. There's X370, Z37. It's so confusing.
Yep.
But we were talking about mining, and Asus just announced a board that basically is a miner's dream.
Right.
It is their B250 Mining Expert. So we've seen mining boards come out, and this thing just takes the cake. I mean, it is made for mining. The biggest thing with mining is, as you add graphics cards, one, most boards only have so many PCI Express lanes. Two, when you get into building more systems, that's more power, and that takes away from your earnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Asus says you're going to do it all with one board, and this the board, the B250 Mining Expert, has 19 PCI Express slots. 19.
It's pretty insane.
And it also, and it it has three 24 pin ATX power connections as well.
Yeah,
which is also
just
awesome.
Nuts. Yeah, which is necessary, just, because otherwise you're going to run into issues.
Yeah. So and they have it set up, like, you know, what ports are for what power delivery, and it's a really thought out board for mining, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you can't use all 19 slots. You just can't with both NVIDIA and AMD drivers.
Yeah,
you can't.
Limitation.
You can't. But you can do 8 GPUs per. You can do 8 AMD GPUs, and you can do 8. We're just getting 8 AMD GPUs in there. You know, and AMD has teased a new driver to come out later this year that will support 19 graphics cards total. So, but if you're a serious miner, this is definitely something. B250, so you're not going to run into a lot of power. You could put any low end. You can even put like an i3 in this.
Oh yeah, no issue.
Yeah,
really stripped down.
Yeah, stripped down for
six phases of power, very little on the I/O on the back, because you don't need anything.
Oh yeah.
You know, obviously it's made exactly for what it is, and it should be a beast at that.
Yeah,
it's a workhorse.
Yep. Very, very, very interesting. But well done. You know, if anybody's going to do it, Asus is going to do it. You know, so really, really.
They'll do
cool.
it just to say they did it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of miners are looking at this. This is just. This gets it all done with one system, you know what I mean? Multiple power supplies, but one system.
Yeah, three power supplies, one system.
And then that power supply is going to power the board. It's going to power a lot of the PCI Express slots and all your graphics cards. I don't think this.
Well, you'll still need your 6 and 8 pins, of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, just for that alone, you're going to need more power supplies. Can you 19? You're going to probably need more along the lines of what? 4 or 5 power supplies?
Depends on what you're running. If you're running like all 1060s.
That's true.
you know. And even like a 1050 Ti, that requires no power. You know what I mean? And
but it's going to draw it through the express lane, which...
The slot, yeah.
Yeah, but whether you want to like be like doing all of your heavy power through right through the slot, I mean, I feel like that's... If you're doing that 19 times, I feel like that's asking for more trouble than it's worth.
Well, like I said, that's why there's three inputs.
Right, but you're still running all the power through the board.
Yeah, and there's actually Molex connections for each one to give even more power to the slot.
Stability, so. Yeah, more
yeah,
stability.
So, oh, yeah, but like I said, sweet board. I would love to be like, hey, somebody send me 19 cards. Let's build a system.
Yeah.
You know?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. Yeah. I think that'd be really cool.
Send me three 1600 watt supernovas and...
Yes. Yeah, since it's EVGA, send me 19 1060s. Let's do this thing.
Yeah. For real.
Yeah, 1060.
It'll be cool to see somebody with it set up. You know?
Yeah. 1060 is basically the overall mining card. It's just for... It uses less power and it's very efficient in mining.
Don't you want like 19 Vega 64s?
That thing, you need 10 power supplies for that thing. You know. But yeah, and like it needs to... You need like 5 air conditioners in a
like
room.
Put the thing in a walk-in cooler.
Yeah, basically. But it's super cool. It's cool to see this stuff.
As we should hate them as gamers, because they're fucking up all our... They're destroying our market.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. But it's inevitable.
When it comes
to that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And it's also inevitable that it will come back down because the hashes, it'll be less. It won't be worth it eventually here.
Yeah, it won't. Last week, I want to talk about this because we've talked about their other ones and actually have two of their M.2 coolers from Alpha Cool.
Mm-hmm.
They announced a new HD X5. So I have the HDX 2-in-1, I think, here. Or maybe 3-in-2. I forget which ones I have. They're all different. But they sent me some M.2 coolers. But the HDX 5 is a raid card that has heat sinks on both sides. And the raid card means that you can get very, very fast speeds, up to 3,900 or 3.9 gigabytes a second.
Which is really good.
Yeah. So it's just simple M.2 raid card, but you obviously have heat sinks, and if you're running both of those very, very fast, you want the heat sinks on this.
Uh-huh.
And seems like a really cool card, and definitely something I might want.
Yeah, what kind of price point?
I don't know.
And then my final question is, will this allow you to boot in on a Threadripper board?
I believe so.
You can put into Windows on this rated?
I believe so, because the card's doing the raid. The raid's not going through the chipset.
So the board is just accessing the card and not the raid itself.
It's $100 euro.
That's maybe 110 US.
Yeah, so it's cool.
Actually,
And this is great too if you have an older system. That obviously, like, even an older Intel system that only has one M.2 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And this just makes it easy for
It's $120.
Yeah, $120. Very cool. Comes with the heatsink on there as well, so you keep those M.2s nice and cool.
Which is really like the main feature of this.
Yeah,
you're gonna get some really good cooling from AlphaCool, who have been doing passive cooling products for a really long time too, by the way.
Yeah.
They're not just jumping on this.
Yeah. And like I said, I have two of their just this coolers. They're just riser cards with M.2 slots for cooling. I have two of them here, which I'll be including in an upcoming build.
Nice.
And I'll be testing them as well, so to see the difference. Because I actually have three different M.2 drives here from different manufacturers. I'm gonna see which one runs the hottest, then I'm gonna test that one.
Nice.
And see the difference in temperature. So that's what these are made for anyways. Excited to get into that. Maybe I'll get Apple Cool to send me one of these as well. Talking about RGB, since it is the year of RGB, Thermaltake announced a RGB radiator.
Which should be astonishing, but for some reason I just feel like, well, duh.
Yeah, it is their Pacific RL360 Plus RGB, and on each side of the radiator, there is a little kind of like a window, the diffuser.
Well, it's a strip, right, with a diffuser it's a strip. Over it.
Yeah, it's a strip with a diffuser over it, and
these
RGB.
Remind me of the strips actually that we saw at. Well, you weren't there, but AlphaCool had strips very similar to these that they were showing off at CES this year that they were working on.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a 360mm radiator. Obviously, I don't know if this is copper core. I don't think.
No, I don't think so.
I know their AIOs don't have copper core, so I don't...
Neither did their their kits. And just looking at the render, which it might not be a render. It might just be really Photoshop. But at any rate, the ports are silver and not copper. So
yeah. I would. Yeah, so aluminum fins...
yeah,
but it's cool, and you can control the RGB LEDs through their software. So I mean, it just adds more RGB to your build.
I mean, you got to give it to them. Their photo, the build photo, it looks pretty cool.
It does look cool there. You know, and the thing is with RGB, you don't have to do that RGB wave. You can do whatever you want, really.
Yeah.
So if you feel like blue today, you can do blue. If you know what I mean, like it's cool. So no word yet on the pricing, but. You know, whatever their 360 rad is normally, just add some money on top of it, $20 maybe.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, but it's cool. And like I said, more RGB, the better, I feel, at least in my opinion, so.
At least options, right?
Yes.
You don't have time.
Yeah, yeah. And then finally, HyperX revealed their next generation Cloud Alpha gaming headset. Cloud 2 is my favorite headset. I have it on right now. Just it's so comfortable, it's durable, it's made really well, has steel frame. Like, I love this headset. I've used it as my main headset, I think, for since I reviewed it, maybe 2 years now. It's just that good. So to see a new one, it doesn't, like, again, these HyperX headsets, they don't look crazy like any of the other ones, but they're so functional and they just work really yeah. well. So Cloud Alpha is new, looks like it has a new frame design, but it looks very much the same.
Yeah, it does.
Which I like, because again,
don't break something that works.
Yeah, don't break something that works. Like, this Cloud 2 is amazing. Like, if I had a box that, like, well, one, I've never broken this, and I've thrown it a couple times.
Yeah,
and
I've
like
seen I've seen these really abused before, actually.
Yeah, because the steel frame's just so good. Like, I haven't broken this, and I've had it for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, so this one, it's not only made for PC, but it's made for everything. So console, mobile, everything.
One that does that for all. I could have sworn they had two versions in the past.
This will be for all. It says in multi-platform capability, PC, PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox One, Xbox One S, Mac, mobile, Nintendo Switch, blah, 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 you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Got it. Very... So you don't need to buy a specific headset.
Correct. You know. So, yeah, really excited. It's going to be... It was showcased at Gamescom, which just happened a couple days ago. So I should. They actually emailed me about it. I didn't email them back. But I got to get one of these into review to see what it's about.
Definitely.
See if it lives up to the old one. Because like I said, the old one's my favorite gaming headset.
Yeah.
So
right at the $100 price point.
Yeah, I think that's a good price point. $100, good headset. Mm-hmm. That. You know, so much people just like look at headsets, but there's so much that goes into it. One, obviously, good sound. Two, and I think even better than good sound is being comfortable, because I can listen to something that's kind of crappy, you know what I mean? But if it's not comfortable, I can't wear it. I can't wear it for game. You know what I mean?
I think both things are pretty equally important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Comfort is huge, though, of course.
Yeah. Especially if you're playing like MMOs or something where you're going to be playing for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so excited to see that. We'll probably get one of those into review as well. And that is our news for this week. So not a whole lot of news, but a lot to talk about, I think, for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, we kind of had a few little things coming that we didn't get to cover last week. We kind of covered a little bit here, so.
Yeah, oh yeah. So coming up this week, we have the first graphics card I've reviewed in a while, and I'm really excited about it. And it's not a Vega card. It is the Aorus GeForce GTX 1080 Ti Extreme Edition 11G, which is nice. Basically, so there's two Aorus cards that are their highest end cards. This is the air cooled version. They have a water cooled version, but they both have the same overclocks. And there's two different overclocking modes. There's OC mode and gaming mode, and very, very high overclocks for a 1080 Ti. This is a 2.5 slot card. RGB massive lighting. Cooler. Yeah, massive cooler. And it's their Win4, or what is it? It's their Win4 Stack 3X, which is new. So really big cooler on there. Or like I said, RGB lighting. So it has their own software. It's a good looking card. I've finished testing it yesterday, actually. So it just, you know, I didn't realize the difference. Well, I did realize, but the difference between a 1080 and 1080 Ti is significant.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was that significant. So it's
yeah,
it's a good card.
The price difference is fairly qualified.
Yeah, and this card I believe is $749. So a stock 1080 is $499. So
yeah,
yep, big difference. About right. Yeah, and then the water cooled version of it is $849, I believe.
It's about right. Water block is $100. Yep.
Yeah, I forget who does that water block on that one, but I think it turns it into a single slot card, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it should. Yeah.
Really cool stuff. Definitely, stay tuned for that review. I will be doing a video review of it as well. So. That will come out hopefully later in this upcoming week, if not early next week. It just takes a lot to put all that together.
Oh yeah, of course.
For you guys. New Cooler Master product as well. We did their new Master, what is it? I can't even think of it. I just reviewed it last week. Or not last week, the week before. I'm sorry. Let me find it. The headset, the new affordable headset, which was the Master Pulse MH320. Another new affordable product is coming out. I can't tell you what it is, but it launches on Tuesday. So we will have that product, and we're giving one away. So stay tuned for the contest for that.
Nice.
So
love having contests.
Yeah, so we'll have that. And also a motherboard, the Gigabyte AB350 Gaming 3. Which is AMD based motherboard, kind of like an entry level build or a low cost build if you're going the Ryzen route. You know what I mean? Because it's not a it's not an X370, but if you're doing just a simple Ryzen build, maybe a Ryzen 5, Ryzen 3, this is a great, a good board to get, and it has some pretty cool features that because it is gaming. You know, everything's gaming now, but you know what I mean?
It
does have some gaming features and even has RGB lighting on it as well.
Nice. I figured it would have been more mom oriented, right? Mom and dad oriented. Not quite.
Yeah, no, but it's a decent little board there if you're looking for a low cost Ryzen build. So I'll have that for you as well. And so we have coming up next week. So definitely stay tuned for that. And brings us to the end of the podcast, where of course we talk about what's going on. What have you been up to?
Not much. I've been watching old shows, oldies.
Okay.
Entourage. Rewatching Entourage. Entourage.
That's always a good thing. Every time I'm like not having a good week, I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna start watching Entourage again.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm like binging through that currently. Dude, it's making me realize that like shows used to put out a lot more, right? Like there are a ton of episodes in each season for this show.
There's
and
10.
I don't think we see that anymore.
There's 10 episodes. That's not a lot.
No, there's like the one has like 20.
No, you can't be right.
According to HBO.
Maybe they hold on.
Cuz there's 3A and 3B for season 3. And there's like
That's like when it came out, it was basically like two seasons. Like, you know what I mean? Like 3A came out and then you waited like the normal wait for a season and 3B. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Well, then never mind.
Yeah. No, that's one thing I hated about Entourage. I was like 10 episodes. I want more. Like you always wanted more with that show.
Yeah.
But no, that's probably, we talked about this in our group chat. Mm. It's like one of the,
it's probably one of the best shows of our generation.
Yeah, especially as a guy. It's a guy show.
Yeah, but my wife is watching it with me and not complaining at all.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a really good show. Ballers, which is on now is sort of like it's also I believe it's also directed by Mark Wahlberg, I believe.
Okay.
That's who directed Entourage.
Yeah, executive producer.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely I check out both of those shows. Very, very good.
Of course, the Mayweather fight is tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was going to get into that. Who is your pick? Tell everybody now.
I want McGregor to win because I think it'll be funny.
Do you think he will win?
I don't think he's going to win. I have said this since the fight was announced that Mayweather is going to dance around him because he's still fast enough and he's going to win by points because that's all he ever does.
Yes.
What do you think?
I also would like McGregor to win.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you say makes sense.
You think McGregor's like his tenacity is gonna like allow him to like break through?
Yeah. Well, here's a couple things. I know more about UFC than I do know about boxing, right?
Mm, yeah.
I don't know the people that Mayweather has fought, whether they had the power that McGregor does. I don't know that. Because I just don't know who he's fought that.
He's fought guys that could have beat him, but he's always been too fast.
He's a tactician, right?
He does not mind going all the way at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Also, I feel that McGregor's going to have a totally different style than most boxers.
It'll either play to his advantage or it'll destroy him.
Yeah, right? I don't see McGregor getting knocked out one bit.
No.
McGregor's used to be getting hit with, 4-ounce gloves for UFC? Getting kneed and kicked in the face. Like, it'll be fine. I also don't see him, getting tired at all either.
The only differences would be, obviously, boxing is longer.
Yeah.
And it's like, to me, it's kind of a torque versus horsepower thing, where, UFC is just, throw yourself as hard as you can,
Yeah.
And boxing is, spread it out. Which is why McGregor has been doing, he's been doing, cycling and stuff to train for this.
Yeah. So we'll have to see.
It'll be interesting. Are you gonna go somewhere and watch it?
I'm going somewhere to watch it. This is cool because this is the big of all. Just like you talked about Entourage, the best show of our time. I think this is the biggest sporting event of our time.
You think?
What's bigger?
It could be. I don't know. That sounds wrong, but but if you stop and think about it, you might be right. It's
got to
be. It's $200 million, right?
For the winner, I believe.
No, it's 100 apiece, no matter what.
Yeah. And all the money, they said it's going to be a $1 billion fight with all
and that's 100 million plus pay-per-view, so yeah. These guys are people are already calling a rematch no matter what happens.
Yeah, which I don't think will happen. But it might.
I don't know.
If money's there.
If McGregor loses, I think it might happen. Yeah. Mayweather will probably just fade into oblivion.
Yeah, when McGregor lost to Diaz, and he fought Diaz again, which was an epic, one of the best UFC fights I've ever seen was the rematch, because that went the full time.
I think that a lot of things, insight can be drawn from that fight.
Yeah.
McGregor can take a hit. We watched him get hit a lot, and we saw that he can last the whole time.
Yeah.
But that technically, he opens himself up to stuff. So when it comes down to points, he gives a lot away.
Yeah. So it's gonna be an interesting fight. I would say, it's so hard because I want McGregor to win. I like him.
A lot of people hate, and I'm like, no, it's too much fun.
Yeah, and he's just if you watch his interviews and stuff and how he just talks about not that stuff, but he talks about how he just he believes he's gonna win and he sees it and he knows that he's gonna win, and he calls a lot of he called the round where he's knocked some guys out, and that's just impressive. That's just what I mean? Whether it's luck or whatever, I mean, that's still
he's a cool guy.
Yeah, so
he's an entertainer if nothing else.
Oh yeah for sure.
What would have been cool is if Entourage was still going, because he would totally have been on Entourage.
I know, right? For sure. So
now that we've gone as far away from computer hardware as we can.
yeah, for sure. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun. I think it is gonna last long. I really would hope. I don't see. Well, the only way it's gonna be a short fight is if McGregor knocks him out somehow.
Yeah.
Or McGregor freaks out and just goes back in MMA mode and kicks him in the face.
There's probably a serious chance for him accidentally. He can't, though. He loses his money. He doesn't get paid.
Yeah.
So I think
it's going to be a good fight. And I'm excited. I'm excited for tonight. You can't not be, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, also want to talk about, I started reading Ready Player One.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
I forgot.
It's good. I like it so far. I'm reading. I got it on Kindle because I didn't want to go to the bookstore because I didn't want to go to the bookstore.
If you went and bought a book, I would have to hate on you after all the crap you guys. All of our friends give me crap for physical media because I buy Blu-ray and UHDs. If you would have gone and bought an actual book,
I mean, I have a lot. I do prefer. Especially with traveling and stuff, like you don't want to carry like three books with you. No, it's just like a lot of extra space. Yeah, so I have my Kindle, which is the original Kindle Fire HD, and it still works awesome. Okay, good product.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
And like the new Kindle, like the new HD is like $100 or something stupid.
They're super cheap. Yeah.
Yeah, they work really well, especially if you're in like an Amazon ecosystem with Prime or Amazon Video, you know what I mean? Like it just works really well.
Especially if you compare to what else is out there, it might not do everything, but it does what it does better, probably.
Yeah,
because I have a Tab 3, and that thing is not a good product.
Yeah, I haven't even like thought about tablets. Are kind of like, I don't know. I don't see the use.
I think they're in between products.
Yeah, but anyways, we'll end this for you guys. Really excited stuff coming next week, and everything that we talked about, of course, is in our show notes. So when I say go check that out, it'll have the link there, so you can go and check it out. And on all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word, and you'll be able to find us. So until next week, catch you guys later.